It's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, welcome back to the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Ow. Now, here's Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
It is hour number two here on a Wednesday. John with a day off. He'll be back on Monday. Did a little Thanksgiving break for JB, and he'll be back with us on Monday morning. We're going to do the Picking with the Pickers here in just a few moments. Going to hook up with Hope Hines here in just a few moments. Man, Patton, I see the finish line. It's 55 minutes away. I am on the – I took two Benadryl last night and went to bed at 7:30. Fell asleep watching the Nashville SC game once Mukhtar made his second one. Is up 2-1 and I slept like 11 and a half hours last night. Just, you know, anyway, just, I don't know why anybody would want to hear that, but just letting you know that, I feel good, but everything from my neck up does not. Does that make sense? I'll tell you what else makes sense. That.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece!
This is Picking with the Pickers. For years, every Friday morning during football season, you've heard legends pick their picks.
Vince Gill, Steve the Colonel Cropper, Kathy Lee Gifford, Killer Bees, Dave Mason, Rob Schneider, Arsenio Hall.
It's time to pick the brains of the Pickers as they tell their tales and pick their picks. Picking with the Pickers is presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. And now, here are your hosts for Picking with the Pickers, Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Well, John Burton is off today. He'll be back on Monday morning. And time now, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. However, John and Tim will be joining us a little bit later on to pick some games. The legend, my good buddy, Hope Hines. How you doing, Hope?
I'm great, Mr. Pogue. How are you, sir? Why wasn't my name mentioned in the legends up there in the intro?
I knew you were going to say that. I just knew it.
Kathy Lee, Kathy Lee Gifford. You had, you know, all of these, you know, A-list names, and you know, mine just kind of falls by the wayside. So I understand how it is. You know, I used to be somebody. I understand.
Oh, be quiet. And by the way, we're going to really tell you to be quiet. We've got a bad connection. We're going to hang up and call you back, okay?
All right.
See there, give me grief about the intro. This is what's happened to you. We cut you off. Yeah, let's reconnect with Hope, of course. You know, the legendary Hope Hines for many, many years, the sports anchor at News Channel 5, and just one of the best people you'll ever know, and 6 broadcast Emmy Awards, best sportscaster in the Southeast, National Academy of Television and Arts and Scientists, 20 years of distinguished service to the industry, inducted in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So certainly, maybe we should put his name on the intro, and we'll try to hook up with him. Obviously, we had a really bad connection there. I met Hope when I was just a little cub reporter for the Nashville Banner back in the late 80s, and he really took me under a wing, and we really worked some stories together. Are we in telephone hell this morning, Patton?
Yeah, what? we need him to call back. It is, his phone's going straight to voicemail.
All right. Did he call us a minute ago? Okay. All right. I'll text him. Call us back. Man. Best laid plans. We'll try to hook up with him in just a few moments. Anyway, Hope Hines is our Picking with the Pickers, Tim Leeper, Tim Leeper Roofing. Tim will actually, that's how I met Tim Leeper at the Hope Hines Benefit Golf Tournament. Hope's done for over a quarter century to benefit Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, the statewide program based there in Brentwood. And Hope, you there now?
I'm here. Why do you keep cutting me? What's the message you're trying to send to me today?
Well, we wanted to hear your dulcet tones, and it was sounded like you had a cricket on the line with you. So we've got you good right now. You doing all right, ma'am?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I'm blessed, as you are.
Well, I'm blessed to have you on and have a friend like you. I was just, you know, while I was sort of vamping there when we were getting you back on, and we actually worked a few stories back in the day together, didn't we?
Yes. Is there that one particular story you want to talk about?
No, I don't think we should.
Now, you see, we've got the audience all wondering. They can't do that. They can't tease the story and then not talk about it. So I guess we better make an exception.
Well, if anybody sees me out, you buy me a beer, I'll tell you the story. How about that? You know.
Okay.
What are you doing these days, man? I mean, because I can't imagine you sitting still.
Whatever I want to.
That's, oh, man.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Oh, listen, Greg, it's the greatest time of my life. Retirement since 2011 has been wonderful. I'm involved in a men's ministry. I teach a men's group on Monday nights. I'm involved with Williamson College in Franklin. I got seven grandkids. What else do I need?
Seven grandkids. That's got to be just a reward of life just in and of itself.
Well, you know what? I have grandchildren all the way from 32 to 8. So that means I'm relevant in a lot of age groups.
Now, one of your grandkids was one heck of a sax player. I remember seeing him at the Main Street Jazz Festival, where I ran into you that day. Is he still playing?
No, he's not playing much. He graduated from MTSU with a degree in computer science, so he's out now having to make a living and work. So he's concentrating on that. But yes, back in the day, he was one of the state's outstanding saxophone players in high school. Had a jazz band on the side. You knew about that.
Right.
And but Ryan Hines is doing very, very well, and we're so proud of him. I want to play the harmonica, but I can't get Charlie McCoy to stand still long enough to teach me, so I guess I'll just go on trying to do that on my own, but I'm not doing very well with
Well, him. First off, Charlie McCoy, the best in the business. I mean, you know, legendary.
I cringe every time he plays the Orange Blossom Special. I just jump.
Hope, do you miss any part of the competitive nature of the business of putting together the package for the 6 or for the 10 or just the getting out there and finding stories and reporting stories? Do you miss any of that, or did you do enough of it to fill you for the lifetime?
I pretty much did enough of it to fill me for a lifetime. I tell folks, you know, 40 years of anything is enough, unless you're married. If you're married 40 years or more, that's great. Keep doing it. But 40 years of sportscasting, you know, with the competition against all of you guys that were there when I was there in the day, and there were some good ones in newspaper, radio, TV. I enjoyed all of that. But, yeah, you know, everything. And the thing is, Greg, when I talk to people about retirement, I said, you'll know when it's time. Just like you will. When it gets time for you to retire, you'll know. And hopefully you'll be able to walk away at the top of your game. And I kind of think I was privileged to be able to do that. And so I have no regrets. I don't look back on anything. But, I don't miss any of it, really. I miss the people I work with. I miss you guys in the media and being around you guys and that sort of thing. But outside of that, you know, I don't have to really concentrate if I'm watching the Titans or Tennessee Vandy, whoever, and worry about the yardage, who did this and who did it. I can just sit back like a fan, remember the highlights of the game that I want to, and then walk away and enjoy that. So that's kind of where that is.
Well, the whole thing's, you know, the dynamic of social media, instant reporting has changed everything. And just, I don't know. You say this, you know, I've got like 14 hobbies, paid hobbies, but I quit writing about 4 years ago, and I had done it, I don't know, 36, 37 years, and I said, time's up. I just don't want to write anymore. That doesn't mean I'm not going to do other things, but when I walked away from writing, I knew I was done. I really did.
Well, I same with me. I knew it was time, and I needed to be at home with my wife, who was ill at the time, and she wanted me there too. So it all worked together, and I was I signed a final 3-year contract, and I knew at the beginning of the 3 years that 3 years from now I was going to walk out of here, and it was going to be great, and it turned out to be that way. So I have no complaints and no regrets, and you don't either in your writing abilities and in your career, and I know you don't. So just enjoy the memories and the friendships. See, the friendships that we make in this business are just lifelong friendships. Don't you agree?
I agree. And you're one of mine. I think we've been friends for, what, 30-something years now. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. At least. Yeah, at least. Yeah, absolutely.
Opine's with us, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing, and that's how I met Tim. Again, this spring, we were able to get out in early June to the annual Opine's Four Kids Golf Tournament, the benefit golf tournament. Is it 26, 27 years now? Something
27, yeah. 27 next year.
Wow. And, of course, to benefit the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, that's how I got to meet Tim and become really good friends with Tim, is through your tournament. Why is that an important mission for you?
You know, it's about children who have been maligned since they were born, basically. They were born into chaos, most of them, because they are abused and they are maltreated, and they come to the children's home, which is a safe place, a safe haven. And, you know, I tell people, and the people who are their house parents, they're the angels of the home, because they nurture those children and blend them in with their own families and raise them all together. But I tell people that the toughest thing that the house parents have to do when those children first come there is earn their trust, because they don't trust anybody. You know, after you've gone through some of the things that they have, why would they? So it's a place where Christian principles are taught, and a solid foundation in their life begins. And a lot of them go all the way through high school and graduate. Now, the ultimate goal there, Greg, is to reunite the children back with their parents. So at the same time that the children's home is working with the children, we have other people who are working with the parents to try to change their lifestyle and to teach them oftentimes just the rudiments of child care. You would think everybody knows that, but not everybody knows that, or not everybody cares, I should say. So anyway, that's the ultimate goal. And, of course, the state of Tennessee came to the children's home 5 years ago and said, hey, we're having some problems with our foster care here in Tennessee, but you guys, for over 100 years, have done this day after day so well. Would you help us? And so the children's home said, absolutely. And so we're involved in the state foster care thing as well. So it's all good. It's just a great organization.
Hope, when I think of two things in your professional career, the stories you've told me over the years that really stand out, one of them, and of course now with me doing the play-by-play over at TSU and working with Eddie George and certainly Jeff Fisher around and all of that, but John Merritt, it just seems like the more time goes on, the larger the story becomes. You know, the legend continues to grow, and you always hear, oh, this story or that story. But I remember, in Bowling Green in the late 70s watching Hope Hines and John Merritt. I could not wait to miss that on Sunday morning.
That was the highlight of the week for a lot of people in Nashville, because during football season, the John Merritt show was the highest-rated show on television.
Wow.
It had nothing to do with me. It was all about Big John and his big, huge personality, who just would blow anybody off the set that was with him. And that was fine, because John was such a lovable man. Everybody loved him. And he'd take that cigar and he'd light it just as the show began. And and he would make a prolonged ritual out of it, as if he were savoring pulling out that cigar and, you know, looking at it and then lighting it and then drawing that first puff. And then just blowing the smoke, which after about 5 or 10 minutes of smoking that cigar, there was nothing but a gray halo over his head. So he was football royalty by his own making. But he was a wonderful guy, and he would be the first to tell you that, you know, his biggest job wasn't coaching. His biggest job was raising money and shaking hands and making friends for Tennessee State University. And boy, did he ever do that! He recruited pretty well too. But he had good people over there, Greg. As you know, Joe Gillum and that staff that he had for many, many years. And he won six black college national championships. He did pretty well, I think.
Excuse me, Hope. I'm struggling this morning. You know, I feel fine. I just got a hand cold or something. I apologize for that. The other one is the story, and you can tell, I can hear this story 1,400 times. And one of the biggest sporting events of the 20th century was the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, and just how you got down there and everything you did down there in that jungle. That must, I mean, you got to tell it again because I can't get enough of it.
Well, that would be a great highlight for anybody in the business, whether it be newspaper or television. But Lon Varnell was the key to that. Now, there may be some people out there who remember the name Lon Varnell. Lon, by the way, at one point in his life, was assistant basketball coach under Adolph Rupp. And then Lon Varnell got out of the coaching business, came to Nashville, went into the promotion business, and at one point he managed Barbara Mandrell, and he had other singers and entertainers and acts under him. And he also had something else back in those days. Now, this is 1974 we're talking about here. That's when the fight took place. So, and I knew Lon had come across with him because he had also promoted the Harlem Globetrotters here in the Southeast. He called me one day and said, "Can we have lunch?" And I said, "Sure, Lon." I had no idea what he wanted to talk about. He says, "I got an idea." He says, "I have just acquired the satellite rights for the movie theaters in the Southeast to show the fight. And I have this idea. Would you be interested in going to the fight, to Zaire, and sending back while you're over there footage, interviews, that type of thing that I could use in the various cities around the Southeast to promote the fact that they could buy tickets to the fight and go to their local theater?" And he said, "I'll pay for 50% of the trip. The Channel 5 will pay the other 50%. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity. I thought, you know, Channel 5 is not going to do this. So I went back to the station. I was all pumped up and fired up and called the managers and assistant managers together and said, "Guys, I just had lunch with Lon." Well, Lon Varnell was a very highly respected person, number one. That's kind of the reason it happened. So they said, "Yeah, let's do it." And so we did. And so one photographer went to Kinshasa, and we were there. And I'll tell you what, it was an education of about a week or maybe 10 days, however long we were there. I forgot now. It was a great education in international relations because Joseph Mobutu was a dictator over there then. And, you know, there were armed guards with machine guns walking the streets. And, you know, in the press, we all have to wear tags, you know, that say who we are. Well, if you didn't have that around your neck and one of them stopped you, that could take you straight to jail. So it was very important that you wore all of your identifications out so everybody could see it. Ali and Foreman were trained at Mobutu's home there on the Congo River, which is a beautiful spread, beautiful castle, and they had a big auditorium there. He would go in there every day, and they would bring school children out to watch him fight. Not George Foreman, because George had already told the officials he was not talking to the press. I think we all thought he was really intimidated by Ali, and who wouldn't be? George is a quiet guy anyway. You know, we see him in all these television commercials he does now, but that's not the real George Foreman that I was able to see. And he wouldn't do any interviews, but Ali loved the crowd, loved the people. They would bring the kids in there, and as he would walk into the ring, here's what they would sing: "Ali Bumaye, Ali Bumaye." That means in Swahili, "Ali kill." And so the interviews that I conducted with Muhammad and Angelo Dundee, his trainer, were just priceless. And it was just a great, great experience, one of the greatest of my lifetime. And people ask me, as they do you, I'm sure, Greg, who was the one person that you were impressed most by in your career that you interviewed? And, of course, Ali would be the top. I covered Ali again in Las Vegas years later in the 80s when he fought George Larry Holmes. And, you know, it was then that we had kind of formed a little relationship. Not great necessarily because I didn't see him that often. But he always was very smart, very appreciative of the coverage. And when the lights were off and the camera was off, Ali was just really a regular person. And he knew people in Nashville because he asked where I was from. And all of that, and I told him, and he was just very endearing to be around. So that's the Ali story, and what a fight, huh?
Yeah, eighth round. I was just looking at Muhammad Ali, eighth round knockout. But just to be in Zaire, the Rumble in the Jungle, one of the iconic sporting events of the 20th century, and you were down there. That is such what a wonderful story. Hey, Hope, we're going to take a break. Can you hang through it? And then we're going to bring in Tim Leeper and John Burton. And we're going to pick some games, okay?
Ready to go.
All right. Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing, right here, Nashville Sports Radio. Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based Mid-State company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday, practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio, WNSR, Sky Scan forecast. For today, we'll have a sunny sky, high 60. Partly cloudy this evening. Could be a stray shower later tonight, low 42. Much better chance of shower Thanksgiving Day, high 54. Sunny Friday, high 46. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Goggin Coldall, coldest team in town. Picking with the Pickers, presented by Tim Leeper Roofing. Our guest today, Hope Hines, the legendary Hope Hines. And Speaking of News Channel 5, he's usually sitting right next to me, but he's off today. Be back Monday. John Burton. John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Say hello to Hope.
What's
hello,
up,
John?
Hope? How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir. How are you? Doing well.
I'm doing great. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, sir, and to you as well. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. I'm trying to get the right kind of mindset for Thanksgiving. You know, you have to do that when you sit down to the table, or else, right, Greg?
Well, why are you asking me? Like I'm an expert on it? Why?
I got a pro tip for you guys. Okay. What you want to do is get up early and have a big breakfast. You know why? It's going to expand your stomach, and you're going to be able to shovel in more food later on.
So, whoa! Wow. Okay.
All right. And let's bring in Tim Leeper. Hey, Tim. What's up, man?
Hi, guys. How are we doing this morning?
Doing well.
Everybody's good, Tim. You know what, Greg? You know what you got there? And Tim Leeper and John Burton, you got legends in the making.
Is that what they are?
Yes.
Hope you epitomize the term legend. You are a living legend, my friend. So that is a high praise indeed. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, you're very kind. All I'm saying is you guys aren't old enough yet to be legends. You have to reach a certain point. Then you will fall into that category. But you're headed that way.
You know, and I do want to say this, and I've said this many, many times, where I met Tim Leeper was several years ago, and out at Nashville Golf for the Hope Hines Charity Golf Tournament for the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, and you said, I want you to interview Tim Leeper because he's such a great supporter, and that's how I met Tim, and we've now become good friends, good guy, and his business. We're partners here on the radio, so thanks to both of you, but thanks for you, Hope. I got a new friend in Tim.
Well, he is one of the backbones of the of what we do out there. He's been with us for a long, long time, and we just cherish everything that he and Atlanta, his wife, his family do for us, and it couldn't happen without him. So we're just tickled to death with Tim Leeper, and always enjoy having breakfast with him, and we do that occasionally just to kind of catch up with each other, and it's always interesting.
Well, the one thing that irritates me about Tim, though, he'll go down to Florida, and he's got his favorite steakhouse down there, and he sends me back the prime rib that he says the best is, and I just said enough is enough. But, no.
Very good.
How are you, Tim?
I'm good. Hope you guys are good. I know you guys are going to have a big day tomorrow. I guess Danny and those guys will be coming to see you.
Well, no, I'm going to be going to see him.
Attaboy. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to mess up my house. No. I learned that trick.
Yeah, show up and have fellowship, eat, and leave. That's the way you do it.
And then I can leave when I want to. There you go.
All right, you guys ready to pick some games?
All right.
Patton, the General Secretary Patton, get us caught up.
Yeah, week 12 last week, we started out with the Titans. Titans were a 10-point favorite against the Texans. Everybody picked the Titans last week.
How'd that work out?
Well, I think they lost outright. No one got any points on that one. Next up, Tennessee and South Alabama. Tennessee was a 28-point favorite. Tennessee covered that one huge in the game. Everybody picked Tennessee, but Greg, you picked South Alabama. South Alabama plus the 28. Next up, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. A bit of a split one there. Ole Miss was a 36-point favorite. They did not cover. Vandy covered plus the 36. Tim Leeper and Greg, you both picked the Commodores plus the points. John and Vicky Yates picked Ole Miss. Next up, and finally, MTSU in the game, a -4 favorite. They lost the game outright for MTSU. So all in all, a 1-3 for Vicky Yates, 2-2 for Tim and Greg. And John, you went 1-3. So as the standings sit, Tim and Greg, you are both still tied in first place at 26-22 overall. John, you are tied in last place with the guest this season at 23-25.
How many games back?
Right now, the John and the guests are 3 games back of Greg.
Hey, by the way, Hope, Vicky Yates last week. How classy is that?
One of the classiest ladies I've ever had the pleasure of working with in 40 years of broadcasting. She is so nice, but she's sweet.
She cares about people. She loves people, and she loves her life and what she does. And she's got two fine young men that she raised pretty much on her own. And so I love me some Vicki Yates.
Yeah, we all do. All right, let's pick some games. The Titans limp into New England. The Patriots are 6.5-point favorites. We'll start with you, Hope. New England minus 6.5.
I'm going to take the Titans in the 6.5. How about that?
It's about, every time you think they're going to lose, they win, you know.
Well, but you see, all right, but here's the deal. This team is going to go up there after, having been skint and embarrassed and humiliated. And if they got anything about them at all, they will rally. They will come back. They will go up. Now, the Patriots are a team that's hot right now. They're coming, and they're going to be in the playoffs in all probability. So anything can happen up there. But I'm just thinking that Mike Vrabel is going to give the speeches of his life today. I mean, this weekend when he goes up there to talk to those guys before the game and even at halftime. I just think the Titans are going to do it.
So all right.
I got 6.5.
All right.
Well, the Patriots here, right? Look at all the injury situation for the Titans coming off that bad loss at home to Houston. You know, my head's still spinning from all the roster moves they made yesterday. As Hope mentioned, the Patriots are red hot. They've won 5 in a row. They're at home. The rookie quarterback's playing well. But I'm kind of with Hope here. I kind of feel like the Titans are going to somehow figure out a way to keep this game close. I got the Patriots winning, but I think the Titans cover the 6.5. So give me the Titans.
All right, John with the Titans plus 6.5. Tim?
I got the Titans winning outright. They are not going to lose 2 in a row. It's the old dog and the new dog, and Vrabel is going to want a piece of Belichick's tail. And I'm telling you, he's going to make a statement in this game, and I got the Titans winning outright.
I think the Titans are running on fumes and can't get to the bye week soon enough. I don't know. I think the Patriots minus the 6.5. Am I the only one taking the Patriots minus the 6.5? All right. So I just think the Titans are running on fumes right now with bodies falling everywhere. All right. Saturday, Tennessee is a 31-point favorite over Vanderbilt. Hope?
I'm taking – give me the 31 points. I want it.
All right.
Because this game is going to be a slobber knocker. And these two go after each other pretty good in this final game of the year. Vanderbilt, of course, if they were to win this game, it would make their year and more. I just like the 31 points. I would take 31 points mostly against anybody. So,
all right.
Vandy's hurting. Tennessee's on the uptick. So, but I like the 31.
John?
I'm with the legend, Hope Hines. I think Tennessee is feeling good about themselves. They had a nice win last week to make them bowl eligible, and they'd like nothing better than to cap off the regular season by smoking their rivals at home. So I'm going to take Tennessee, and I'm going to lay the 31.
All right. Hope took Vandy plus the 31. John, Tennessee minus
the –
That's cool.
Yeah.
Tennessee minus the 31. And, Tim, what do you have?
I'm taking Tennessee, man. If you thought they beat them bad last week, wait till you see what they do this week.
All right. And I'm going to go Vandy plus 31. They've covered 3 games in a row, and they only lost at Ole Miss by 14. 31 just seems like a lot. I agree with Hope. I'm going to take Vandy plus 31. MTSU goes to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic is a 3.5-point favorite. MTSU has to win this game to get bowl eligible. Down in Boca Raton, of course, that's where you have your second or third home, right, Hope, down there?
Actually, it's my second.
Okay, right. All right.
Yeah, I go there quite often.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know an awful lot about either one of these teams, really. I haven't studied them that much this year. But I'm going to have to – I don't think MTSU can win it down there, so I'm taking the Florida team.
All right. John?
Yeah, hate to do it, but give me FAU. I just think coming off that last week for the Blue Raiders, they're a little down, and that's just going to be tough to go down there and get a win. So I'm going to take FAU, and I'm going to lay the 3.5.
Tim?
Yeah, man. NTSU hasn't been good to me this year. No matter what I've done, they've done the opposite. I'm taking Florida Atlantic, too, man. They got to play away. I don't know. I think they're on their heels right now.
Right. Well, in both teams with five wins, so the winner goes and the other doesn't. I wish I could be the contrarian here, but I'm not. I'm going to go Florida Atlantic minus 3.5. I just think middle down to their fourth string quarterback. Yeah, it's a tough spot. And I picked this one of all the other games. I think maybe the best game of the college weekend is the Egg Bowl tomorrow night in Starkville. Mississippi State is a 1.5-point favorite over Ole Miss. Hope?
Ole Miss is going to win that game. What you got here is, you know, you got one factor, you've got the teams on the field, but you've got two dysfunctional coaches on each sideline. I like both of them, but I like Lane Kiffin. I just think that Ole Miss is going to win, and I'm anxious to watch that game. When you see there's only a 1.5-point difference, that's an even bet.
Yep.
I just like Lane, and I hope he wins, and so I'm going with Ole Miss.
John?
Yeah, man, this one's a tough one. I like the over, by the way, 62.5. I think that's a lock with these two offenses. I agree with Hope. It's basically a pick'em game. I'm going to go with State because they're at home, so give me Mississippi State.
Tim?
Ole Miss, man. Ole Miss is strong this year. I don't know, man. I don't know enough about this game, but I've seen what they've done to some other teams. I think they're going to – I'm not going to say they're going to mop the floor, but I'm telling you that I think it's going to be an outright win.
Hottie toddy for Tim, and I'm going to go with the Bulldogs. A lot of it is what John said, the home team. I got to see them last Saturday down there, and Will Rogers, just remember that name, the sophomore quarterback. He will be playing on Sunday soon enough. So give me the Bulldogs. Minus the 1.5. John, we'll see you Monday. Have a great holidays, and be safe.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys and all the listeners.
All right. See you, John. Tim, and to you as well, Tim.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right. Tim Leeper, John Burton, and Hope, thanks for doing this. We always love having you on, and we'll get you in the intro next year.
I love to do it. And I wish you and your family a great Thanksgiving, as well as all the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of listeners you have.
Oh, it's amazing. It's nearing the millions, Mark. It really is. So, thank you, Hope. You know what? I think of you. Take care, buddy.
Love you. See you.
All right. Hope Hines.